My father once told me a story that illustrates how important it is to have a support team lined up for those moments when you really need their skills. It involves an incident that occurred just outside Vung Tau. He had successfully dropped off troops, picked up supplies from a waiting ship, and was taking off again to head back to base. It was a flight pattern he was familiar with, having flown it before. He had been conditioned by earlier experiences to check out the edges of the woods for enemy soldiers hiding there before he ascended high enough to be visible. Sure enough, my dad spotted VC snipers. This time, however, he was able to call up nearby artillery. A U.S. Army soldier who sounded a lot like a young kid responded, and my father quickly told him where he was located. "You see those guys sitting out on those hills?" he asked. "I'm flying awfully low, and I've got to get out before I get caught in their crosshairs." He had to trust that this artilleryman, as young as he sounded, knew what he was doing. And thankfully, he did. The boyish voice on the other end of the radio commanded firmly, "Do not climb." As my dad explained to me, the first shot was fired by our guys. I was told to maintain altitude at full throttle. Basically, the artillery unit had to mark the target with a small gun, something ranging between a 105 and a 155 howitzer. After they scored that first shot, they had to hit the other side too. That's when the young artilleryman repeated again, "Do not climb." They were firing over my dad's plane now. The next shot was definitely from a 155, because in my father's words, it came with a hell of a dust. With those two hits, my dad's new best friend in artillery located the enemy unit, and the next words he heard from him were, "Meet your power." My father was about to jam the plane when the kid shouted several more times, "Do not climb! Do not climb!" Miraculously, he was able to stay in position at that low level for 3.5 minutes. 3.5 minutes! Even I know that's a long time in a little bird-dog airplane that only flies 100 miles per hour. That speed is nowhere near fast enough to hightail it up out of a hot spot like that. When you're right at treetop level, unless, of course, you've got the kind of targeted artillery support behind you that he did. After what seemed like forever, to even my incredibly patient father, the artilleryman gave the okay for him to climb and then put him on another heading to get him back to base safely. I suspect that my dad doesn't like to tell that story because it took 5 guns and the explosions of their fuel carriers to take out that enemy unit. He could see a hellacious cloud of smoke in the sky behind him, and he knew that a lot of enemy lives were lost that day to save his. One thing every serviceman and woman knows is that you can't go it alone in war. You are reliant on other people doing their jobs, and they are reliant on you doing yours. In that way, everyone is someone else's reinforcement. Nations also understand this, which is why they seek to develop allies. And militaries plan for this, which is why they train troops to have each other's backs, or as they say, have each other's six. It's also why they develop elite teams of soldiers with exemplary skills to preempt challenges or to come to the rescue when times get really tough. These elite teams, of course, are called special forces. Many people think that it's these warriors' physical abilities that make them so exceptional. But they must be mentally agile and tough, and in some cases, academically accomplished too. Green Berets, for instance, are able to speak foreign languages like a native and are fluent in all kinds of advanced technologies. Depending upon their occupational specialty, they've aced weapons, communications, medical and engineering training, and they've been schooled in operations and a wide variety of different survival, escape, resistance, and evasion techniques. But most important, they have to have a rock-solid moral character. Special forces in general must reflect the best attributes and values of the military wherever they are sent. They are often a fleeting presence, emerging only at the times or in the situations when their uncommon skills and fortitude are needed. It takes enormous commitment, courage, and personal responsibility to knowingly rush into a crisis to save others. Although that artilleryman who effectively saved my father's life was not part of an actual special operations unit, he was my dad's special force on that day, stepping in with speed and skill just when it was needed. My father never saw him again, but you can bet he never forgot him.